The dalet minim in the lulav, we know, represent what, according to the Medrash? So there are two famous midrashim about what the dalet minim represent. What do they represent?
The four types of Jews.
The four types of Jews are the four parts of the body, right? So the four parts of the body, which represents what? So we know that the esrog represents the lave, the Medrash says. The Medrash says this is the pshat in the pasuk called Tzmosei Tamar Hashem, right? That all of my atzamos, all my entire being goes out to sing Tamar Hashem Michamocha, goes out and says Tachanish Baruch Hu, goes out and says Tachanish Baruch Hu Michamocha, says, who's like you, Ribon Shalom, you're so wonderful, right? So the Medrash develops that the esrog represents the lave, the lulav represents what?
The spine.
The hadasim represent the eyes, because they're shaped like eyes, and the aravos represent the lips, because they're shaped like lips. Right?
Wow.
So now let me ask you, how many hearts do you have?
One.
You have one heart. That's correct. That's why, how many esrogim do we take? One. How many spines do you have? One. That's why, how many lulavim do we take? One. How many lips do you have? Two. And that's why, how many aravos do we take? Two lips. The only one that doesn't fit, in terms of the numbers, is the hadasim. Three hadasim, we only have two eyes. Right? You're talking about me. I only have two eyes. So, yeah. Oh, yeah? Very good. So you remember it. Second kasha, there's only one place that I know of in the entire Shulchan Aruch, and I don't know the entire Shulchan Aruch, but there's one place that I know of in the entire Shulchan Aruch where the Ramah says the same halacha in back-to-back places. Back-to-back se'ifim in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says the same exact halacha. Repeats himself. Where is that? The very last halacha in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, and the very first halacha in Hilchos Sukkah. What's that halacha? That right after Yom Kippur, you should go and build a sukkah. The thing is, the Ramah quotes two different reasons in the two different places. In one place he says you should build a sukkah right afterwards because you should go mi mitzvah to mitzvah. You should always go from one mitzvah onto the next mitzvah. And the other one he says, in the other place he says, mitzvah bali yad ayach mitzena. That whenever you have a chance to do a mitzvah, you can't pass it up. If a mitzvah presents itself to you, do it right now. Why would he say the same halacha twice? What's the message? And why two different reasons? If you say two halachas in a row, right? It seems a little bit repetitive and a little bit strange. And finally, third question, there's a Gemara in Sukkah Yud Aleph, you'll probably hear quoted 1,000 times in the next week, where the Gemara discusses what the point of Sukkahs are. What does the Gemara say? It's either to Zecher to what?
Anani
HaKavod, or Sukkahs Mamish, right? So now, there's a third representation of Sukkot also. There's a third idea that Sukkot symbolized, besides for Anani Kavod and Sukkot Mamish, and we say it in Benching. What do we say in Benching? Sukkot Rachman Hu Yakum Lanu Es
Sukkot
Davan Anafelas. What's the Sukkot Davan Anafelas? What's Sukkot Davan Anafelas? No, Sukkot Davan Anafelas. The Beis HaMikdash. So apparently the Sukkot represents Sukkot Mamish. It represents Anani Kavod. And it represents the Beis HaMikdash. What's the connection between those three? How do those three thematically connect to each other? So, I thought you can suggest the following yisod. The Shemin Atov writes, I think he was a Rav in Young Israel of like Borough Park or Williamsburg or something, some very Hasidish neighborhood that had a Young Israel, and the author of the Shemin Atov is the Rav of that shul, if I'm not mistaken. And he writes as follows, that a Jew cannot only live in the present. A Jew has to realize that there's something called Jewish history and there's something called Jewish destiny. And when a person is properly informed of the past and molded by the past, and he understands that his actions have an impact on the future as well, then his present will be that much more meaningful. What he does is that will be much more likely to succeed on a religious level in the present if he understands that there's a past and he understands that there's a future. And that could be what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says, "Akavi ben mehalal elomer, mistakel b'shlosha dvarim v'yata bali de'avera." If you look at three things, you won't come to sin. What? Dame ayin basa, where you came from, which is clearly past. Le'an atahalech, where you are going, which is present. And lifnei miyata asid nitein din v'cheshbon, in the future where you're going to be giving din v'cheshbon in front of. So again, that's the reflection of all three. You could even stretch it to say that perhaps each of the avos represents a different element. That Avram Avinu represents present, because Avram Avinu had no past to draw on. And his entire life, what was his real life's work? Where did he spend most of his energy? Being one of my Talmidim pointed out in Shir today, where did he spend most of his energy? Rambam writes, he got tens of thousands of people to recognize monotheism. And what happened to all those people after Avram died? They went right back to their Avodah Zarah. Most of his life's work was gone as soon as he was gone. There's only one critical element that stayed, and that's what started Klal Yisrael, and that was Yitzchak. Ki bi Yitzchak yikari l'chazara. But a lot of his life's work was fantastic for the time that he was doing it, but didn't carry forward. Yitzchak was based completely on the groundwork that Avram had laid for him. He spent his whole life davening for this kid. And Yitzchak was an Ola Shlema. He was someone who was Kadosh from birth, never left Eretz Yisrael. So much of what he was represented the vision his father had for him before he was even born. Yaakov had a miserable life. It was very difficult with Dina and Shechem, and with Lavan, and with Esav, and with Yosef, and with all the difficulties he had. But Yaakov is the only one that left us with 12 Shvatim. He left us with the real beginnings of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov's life's work is in the future, and you even find it when Yaakov buys the Bechora from Esav. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas, what's the point of dispute between Yaakov and Esav? Is that Esav is in the here and now. Esav says, I want it now. And Yaakov has a mind toward the future. You know, Esav doesn't see where the Bechora is going to benefit him, because it's so far off, he only sees what's right in front of his face. Okay, that might be a little bit of a stretch, but this idea of past, present, and future, whether you connect it to the Avos or not, is certainly a critical idea in Yahudus. So I thought Al Derech Drush, you could say the same thing with you could use this idea to explain the idea of the Hadassim. So why is the Hadassim why do we have three Hadassim? It's allegorical eyes, not that there are three physical eyes on the person. Allegorically, a Jew is supposed to have three eyes, an eye to the past, an eye to the future, an eye to the present. Only when we understand that what we do is going to affect the future, and we understand where it's going, and only when we understand what Jewish history is, and we understand where we came from, then our present will be that much more meaningful. And perhaps that's also the connection that Rama is trying to make between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Why? Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov that's decidedly focused on past events. Al Chet Shechatanu, Ashamnu, Bagandu. And we're trying to obliterate a negative past. We're trying to purify a negative past. So what does Rama say right afterwards? You go right after Sukkot and you build the Sukkah, but there are two elements of that. Right after Yom Kippur and you build the Sukkah, but there are two elements of it. Number one, Mitzvah Abol Yadu Aliyach Mitzena. Right now, you have a mitzvah, you can't pass it up. But also, Holech Mi Mitzvah La Mitzvah. To go from one mitzvah to the next mitzvah, to have a mind for the future, right after Yom Kippur, to think a few days in the future toward the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Not just about the mitzvah of building it right now, but to prepare for the future of the mitzvah of sitting in it. And that way we connect past, present, and future. And I thought based on this, we can understand very well the three themes of Sukkah. Right? What are the three themes of Sukkah? You have Anane HaKavod, which is an event that occurred in the past. It's not a miracle that's going to happen again. It's a miracle that happened once that we're commemorating. You have the Beis HaMikdash, which is something that Yakim Lanu, as Sukkos David on the fellows, HaRachman Hu Yakim. Yakim is future tense. We want to encourage Baruch Hu to bring us to that point where we're going to have a third Beis HaMikdash. And when we appreciate that there's going to be a Sukkos David on the fellows, and we appreciate that there has been an Ananei HaKavod, and we understand how the past and the future collide and how the past and the future frame and shape our worldview, then we'll be able to understand what the Sukkos Mamish are all about. The Sukkos Mamish is about getting through this world with Bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With whatever storms and whatever insecurities we have, we leave our home and we say that we're trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're only able to have the kavach and the courage to do that if we understand the past and we understand the future. That's the idea.